We are a singing people because that is how God created us. That's what Keith and Kirsten Getty say in their book, Sing. It's what we do. And when we sing, we're joining in what the rest of creation is doing. Mark Slide, once at our pastoral group, spoke about a YouTube he'd seen, talking about how the heavens sing, how the heavens are not silent. There is a sound in the heavens. The stars are not only beautiful to look at on a clear night, but also make some sounds. When we sing, we join creation. We saw last week that picture in the end of Isaiah 55 of how the mountains skip, how the picture of trees dancing, an image of how creation itself gives glory to God in that kind of wonderful pictorial image. And when we sing, we join creation. We join in the gladness of creation. God is glorified by all that he's made in the world. And John Piper says that God is most glorified in us when we are most delighted and satisfied with him. And one of the ways that we express our delight and our satisfaction is to sing. We lift him up and we tell him that we love him. We tell him that we appreciate him. We speak of his works. And as we do that, we glorify him and we discover great joy. And these little passages from Ephesians, Colossians help us to see that. So that little bit from Colossians, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's not the planets. That's the mic. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So that's the first one. And then the second one, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the two verses, the two parts of the verses rather, from Ephesians, from Colossians. So if you ask the question, when we sing songs of praise, are they to be word-based or are they to be spirit-filled? Well, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Those two statements from Ephesians and Colossians, two letters that were probably written at a similar time, just with a slightly different spin in those two letters, but covering fairly common ground largely in those letters. Paul chose to write to one of them about the word of Christ dwelling in them richly and flowing out with psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, and to write to the others about being filled with the Holy Spirit and psalms, hymns and spiritual songs flowing out. So these little passages from these two letters give us a description of worship within the New Testament church, and they tell us that if we are to sing God's praises, we need to be people of the Word and we need to be people of the Spirit in order that we might be able to sing the praises of God and enjoy our God in doing so. So, singing is shaped by the Word. And interestingly, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We kind of think about the word of God. We often speak about the word of God. But Paul specifically says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the message about Jesus dwell in you richly. As the message of Jesus dwells in you, gets into your life, well then you've got something to sing about. And when you sing the Psalms, you find that you're singing the songs of Jesus, as we saw last week from Psalm 118, that psalm that was part of the hymn that Jesus and the disciples sang. at the Lord's Supper. And when we're singing those sections of Paul's letters that look very much like hymns, Colossians 1, Philippians 2, we're singing the message of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit touches our hearts and maybe sometimes gives us a spontaneous song of praise, well then likewise we're seeking to lift up and glorify the Lord Jesus. We were at the Wren Collective concert last night, and they said that they were a kind of a budget version of Mumford and Sons, a Christian budget version of Mumford and Sons. They are immensely cheerful as a group, and their songs are very, very upbeat. And they said sometimes people complain about our words, but the words in the songs are just cut and pasted from the scripture. Kind of interesting, isn't it? And in a sense, many of the best songs that we sing are those that in some way or another have been cut and pasted from scripture. As the word of Christ comes alive in our lives, well then it issues in praise of the living God. As the word of Christ dwells in us richly, then psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs will arise in our hearts. Those who have heard the message of Jesus are singing people. Throughout the history of the church, in the first centuries, people sang songs. Augustine in the early century said that if you sing, you have prayed twice. And singing is a way of intensely praying, bringing all that we are, all of our energy, into engaging with God in prayer. The Wesleys in the great 18th century revival, people like John Newton in the 19th century, people like the Stuart Townend and the people based at CCK, the Gettys, Matt Redman, Tim Hughes, Chris Tomlin, the Wren Collective, all of those people, reflecting on the message of Jesus and seeking to praise the living God through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. When we're liberated by the message comes out in the form of song. So we want to listen carefully. Now, I have sought to instruct Andrew in lots of things. Preaching, obviously, is one of them. Taking Mars bars to Malawi. But, of course, you need to remember that they need to be kept in the fridge before you go. They need to be wrapped in newspaper and maybe a little bit of tin foil just to make sure they're as cool as they can be. Put them in your suitcase. Make sure that they're going in the hold, which is obviously very, very cold. And as soon as you can, whenever you reach a desired haven, put them in a cool spot. That's if there's any left at that point. I've also instructed Andrew in the very important task of brewing tea. Brewing tea with tea leaves. Obviously, to bring out that full flavour. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Like a really well-brewed pot of tea. Tea leaves put into a warm pot and left for around about 4 minutes. Given a stir and then poured out into a cup. The perfect cup of tea is then produced. Not a tea bag kind of casually waved over the hot waters of a cup, leaving that kind of flotsam and jetsam around the cup. But, oh dear, Linda made me a cup of tea. That was a very nice cup of tea that we had this afternoon, it has to be said. But yeah, not that, but a real brew. And the word of Christ dwelling in us richly is like a well-brewed cup of tea or a well-percolated cup of coffee. The flavour is all there. You're not just tasting water and paper. You're tasting tea. And as we sing the praises of Jesus, we're tasting the flavour of Jesus, the message of Jesus. And we saw that in the song that Anne chose. That lovely song from Psalm 45, the song of the king, the song of the marriage of the king. And we see devotion to the living God, devotion to Jesus and delight in his work. And that's what happens when the word of Christ dwells in us richly. And Graham Kendrick was obviously meditating upon that psalm and letting the message of Christ dwelling in him richly, and it issued out in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. But singing also allows us to be relational. The surprising thing here is that we're told in Colossians chapter 3, let this word dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So we tend to think of singing as something we do for God. But we also, when we sing, are doing something for each other. Far and near, hear the call, we sang this morning. Now that's a word to each other. It's a word for us to be woken up and to respond to the call to worship. Come, let us worship the King of Kings. We are singing to each other. We're encouraging each other to focus more clearly upon the living God. There's something relational, edifying, building up, wise about our worship. The songs that we sing teach us, they encourage us, they remind us of things that we know about God. That's why the 19th century preacher from Birmingham, R.W. Dale, said, "We don't mind who writes the books of doctrine because most of the congregation don't read them. We do care about who writes the hymns because everybody sings them." It's really important, isn't it, to sing truth. We don't sing every song that's produced in the Christian church. Some of them can be banal. Some of them can be potentially heretical in one way or another. But we do welcome songs from a really wide source, and a delight to be enriched by many, many people who meditate on Scripture and seek to reflect that in their songs. When we sing, we are seeking to benefit each other. There's a horizontal benefit. And that means sometimes looking at each other. I wonder if we ought to do that sometimes when we're singing. Not just look at the screen, but look at each other. I do, you see, I'm up here. I don't know whether maybe sometimes you kind of feel that the man at the front is engaging in far too much eye contact. But I do look at you when you're singing. And one of the things I really enjoy about coming back here when I've been away somewhere else is the singing. Sometimes you go into a church building and there might be more people than there are here, but sometimes you don't really hear the congregation singing. And you do hear the congregation singing here, and that's really excellent. And it does me good. I find that on a Sunday morning, sometimes the singing kind of just helps me to kind of go up a gear. And if you're singing well, it kind of just helps me to be grateful that I'm here. And that's a good thing, isn't it? I mean, if I'm grateful to be here, I hope that you'll be grateful to be here too. So sometimes singing corrects our thoughts. We've come in and we've felt, you know, God has let us down, and suddenly we have a song that reminds us that he'll never give us up. Sometimes we wonder whether our sins are too crushing for us and whether we can ever be forgiven, and then we sing about amazing grace and our chains coming off, and suddenly we're free. We hear news, as we've heard this week, in a number of ways about people dying, and we think about the fact that his goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We're reminded that our thinking is corrected. We're pointed away from ourselves and we're pointed up to the living God. We celebrate our new identity in Jesus. We're reminded of all that he has brought to us. And of course, singing together is a witness. The Gettys say this in the book: "If I were a visitor to your church and knew nothing of the gospel, What would your church music, selections, presentations, and congregation engagement convey to me about your faith and understanding of the gospel? That's a really good question, isn't it? If I were a visitor in your church and knew nothing of the gospel, what would your church music convey to me about your faith and understanding of the gospel? Now, I know that we sang quite a few na-na-na-na-na-nas this morning. But if you were listening to the rest of it, you realise that the song reminded us that we live in Jesus. And Jesus lives in us. It was a wonderful testimony, got beyond the na-nas, of how wonderful it is to know Jesus Christ. And that's what you want to communicate, isn't it? Isn't that something you want to communicate to people? That there is a wonderful joy and freedom in knowing Jesus Christ. Now, if we are to be a witness to those who come into the church, there needs to be a measure of variety in what we do. And so both these passages speak about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, it's been suggested that there perhaps is no difference between these three things. All of the three terms were used of psalms in the Old Testament. But maybe there is some distinction in Paul's mind. Maybe he is thinking about the biblical psalms. He's thinking about the biblical hymns, like we mentioned about Colossians 1 and Philippians 2. And maybe he's thinking about those very simple, spontaneous songs that allow people maybe to, for a moment, not over-intellectualise their faith, but to allow other aspects of their personality and faith to be expressed. I perhaps told you this story before, but there's a story that was told by Tim Keller of a conference, and the conference was of Presbyterian ministers in America, serious, obviously, about their faith and teaching the Bible. And there was one white Presbyterian pastor from a congregation that was fairly buttoned down, and there was one black Presbyterian pastor. Now, it was interesting going to Mississippi a couple of years ago, going to the Reformed Theological Seminary there, and going to their preaching classes. And on one of the occasions, they had a young black student who was going to be preaching his trial sermon. And his message was really solid, you know, really solid theologically. But his style, I thought I was listening to Barack Obama. It was loose-limbed. It was exciting, engaging. It was truly remarkable. And in this conference, anyway, the two pastors were chatting to each other, and the white pastor said to the other pastor, "You know, I'm really glad that you're here, and I think we believe the same things, but I'd find it very difficult to worship in your church because the songs are so simple." Yes, and the pastor said, "Yes, sometimes we sing a song like, 'Jesus, it's so nice to be with Jesus, Jesus.'" Yes, he said, "That's what I mean. They feel a little bit superficial." But he said, "Well, actually, I sometimes find your song superficial. You know, take 'And Can It Be,' for example. You sing those amazing lines and you move on to the next line. You can't process all that stuff with the speed that you sing that hymn. You know, you probably need to sing each line and to just sit for a minute or two and reflect on what you've just sung. There's a huge freight of meaning that you've been singing through. Now, when we sing that song, 'It's nice to be with Jesus, it's so nice,' we've just heard a message which proclaims what Jesus is like. And as we're singing that song, we're thinking about what we've just heard. We're taking all of the message and we're reflecting it back to him in those simple lyrics." Kind of an interesting perspective, isn't it? You know, what is substantial What is superficial? Well, I suppose it's horses for courses in a sense, isn't it? Maybe we do need to be a bit more careful with the more weighty hymns, that we don't just sing them in a fashion that kind of almost speeds them up so that they become meaningless. And we don't dismiss the simple song. There was a rather nice moment at the end of the Wren Collective concert where they sang that song, "I Love You, Lord, and I Lift My Voice." It was kind of just a way of really slowing down the concert, bringing the concert to a focus where quite clearly it was not the celeb on the stage, but it was the King of Glory on the throne that was the focus. Very simple song, but it was a wonderful vehicle of expressing love. So variety, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, different styles, different sizes, some spontaneous, some planned. And knowing how to use all of them in a way that is appropriate in a giving service. Singing helps us to overflow with gratitude. Are you grateful? Singing with gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. Gratitude is perhaps one of the most underrated virtues. To be grateful helps us to be alive. To be grateful helps us to be connected with God. When we're grateful, we realize that we have been gifted, that we have received gifts, that every moment we're receiving the gift of life, the gift of God's blessing and favour. Gratitude is constantly turning us away from our own poor little me to my. Think of how much I have in you, the living God. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. And the way that we are most satisfied in him is to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you have done." And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him. A thankful heart is a happy heart, a healthy heart. There's very little virtue in being miserable. There's very little virtue in having a shrunken heart. Very little virtue in being ungrateful, unthankful. When we allow ourselves to be released, when we allow ourselves to have our heart opened to God and the sunshine of his glory, we just become more expansive, we become more flourishing people. So, coming to that passage in Ephesians, when we sing, we express what it is to be spirit-filled. Or we ought to express what it is to be spirit-filled. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Being spirit-filled means that we are centered upon God. It means that we are brought to the source of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. It's been said that there ought to be a fountain of joy at the centre of our lives. Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit creates the fountain of joy in our hearts that helps us to praise. To be filled with the Spirit, someone has said, means to be caught into the joy that flows from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see that in Ephesians chapter 5, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are spoken of. And singing is a way of expressing that joy to God. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and make music to the Lord in your hearts. See, Paul is saying that something more is going on when singing is happening. It's not just a matter of words and music. It's not just a matter of our mouths and our bodies. Something is going on in us. Something happening when someone sings. It's good to sing. It's good for us to sing. It's good for our mood. It's good for our health. It's good for our body. We sing and our lungs expand. We stand up straight. It does us good. Because we're engaging in it with more than just our physicality. Make music in your heart to the Lord. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what it is to have a God-centered life. A word-centered, a spirit-filled life. One writer on music said this: worship is not something that you repeat or even something you listen to. It is something you make. It is a gift to the Lord that is created and thus will often be marked by creativity. Music is something that you make. Singing is something that we do. Singing is something that we engage in so that we can lift up Jesus and so that we can be free. It is a gift to sing. God's given us the gift of singing. He's spoken a message that's worth singing about. He's given us spirit to give us the power to sing to God's praises. So if a visitor comes into our church knowing nothing of the gospel, what would we convey about our faith and our understanding of the gospel? By our singing. It's nice sometimes to see people walking past, and they're obviously surprised when they come to the opening to hear singing, and they look in. It's quite unusual. There is singing in lots of other places in the world, quite singing in our society in many other places, but there's no singing quite like the singing in God's house. People who can't sing, sing. Sometimes we stand next to them. People who can sing really, really well sing. We had a lady who was trained as an opera singer in our church in Lowestoft. And the church in Lowestoft, has to be said, was about a quarter of the size of this big building. And man, when those pipes were open, it was something else. Victor's old church in Riga, they had three opera singers in their church. And when they led worship, it was astonishing. Astonishing. And you have everyone in between. Everyone putting their bit in. But here we are. We're able to engage in this task, taking these songs that God has blessed people to write. And just coming alive as we sing. Coming alive to God and the truth that they contain. So, sing. We've been made to sing. Sing! Well, that's what we're going to do, I think, isn't it? We're going to sing. Amen.